You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Hey, everybody. We got some real basketball to talk about.
It is time.
Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tangway along for the ride, Zoom and podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel, the official partner of the CLNS Media Network. Snap into action this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. Okay, guys, we're going to be talking about the season opener for the Celtics. We are recording this the morning after. So let's just get some opening thoughts on what we saw from this club. Bob, I'll let you go first. Obviously, it was a win over the New York Knicks on the road.
I'll start by accentuating the positive. I'll channel my inner Johnny Mercer. The biggest positive was I'll take 81 more of those from Porzingis.
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, good. I have to. He was. I'll take that. I'll take no more. It had to be any better. No more. I'll take 81 of those. Right as everything. Both sides, both ends of the floor. Number two, they are so freaking lucky the Knicks shot free throws the way they did, or else they lose. To me, that was the difference in the game. That was the most important of all the things we can say were the difference in the game. That's number one in my mind. They're lucky they won. I don't feel real good about what I saw. In general, they won. Hooray! Nice. They escaped survival. Blah blah blah. I don't want 81 more of those total team performances, but I'll take 81 more Porzingis.
I mean, here's what I'll say is. Porzingis looked phenomenal coming out of the gates. Jrue Holiday looks like he's going to need some time to figure out his role. And obviously, the difference here is they got Jrue, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
You know, they had all summer to prepare to be able to figure out how Porzingis fits into this offense. Jrue just got thrown into it. So I think it's going to take some time for him to look comfortable. Porzingis was awesome. Again, you know, I think what we see here, the biggest takeaway for me on Porzingis isn't that he can shoot the ball from three. We know that. It's defensively. Defensively, how he can move, how he can. He's much better than we remember him being when he was relevant, a relevant player, right? He's matured as a player into a much more well-rounded player. I know it's one game, but you can see it.
There was an improvement with Washington. As Bob stated, you know, not a lot of us were checking out the Wizards.
No.
But last year, he played well for the Wizards.
Well, this is what I was told he was on defense. I said, oh, that sounds good. But we wanted to see it. We saw it. He has much more lateral mobility than you think. And after all, and start with the fact, he is 7'3". And he's smart, I think. That was encouraging. And that was a big bonus. You know, yes, as Jeff said, his trading, stock and trade is shooting threes, right. Fine. But he played a nice game of a big man basketball last night, as well as shooting the threes. So that was very encouraging.
Well, I mean, look, last year that's a game they lose.
Yeah, well, and they're lucky they would have lost anyway if the Knicks shot free throws. That's what Bob.
Well, that too, but the Knicks also, Bob, were lights out from three too, which isn't usually the case. But they have to play better perimeter defense for the Celtics.
Now here's a number I'm going to give you. 12.
12.
How many bench points they had? 12.
Yeah, that's going to be an issue.
The fewest. I mean, by the way, was it the fewest in the league? The answer is yes.
Really?
The next fewest. The next fewest was Toronto with 16. The next fewest after that was Minnesota with 21. Now we had an abnormal peak. The Nets had 65 because Cam Thomas had 36 himself in 25 minutes. But now Hauser, and I'm a believer in Pritchard. I'm a fan of his. He was 0-for-3 on threes, and Hauser was 0-for-4. And I do think they're going to be better. But that was we got to have better. You know, you can't live with 96 from the starters and 12 from the bench. I'm sorry,
Jeff. Do you feel it is now consistent throughout the NBA that every team has a 4 or 5 minute span where they look like they forgot how to play? Because that's my frustrating thing with the Celtics. And that's what happened last night.
You just said it, though. You just said it. Even the really good teams. And sometimes it's, you know, you take one superstar off the floor. Obviously, they're a different team without Tatum. We know that. My biggest concern still, man, you look at Jaylen Brown at the end of that game, and you're just like, does this dude even know how to play basketball at times? Like, he just plays like he's never, ever played basketball. I mean, that pass, two of them, two bonehead passes, one in inbounds, and the one previously where he threw it right to somebody. I mean, it's like a free safety, you know, like stepping in and making the easiest pick ever. And then on the closeout, like, I just, again, I've said it. I've tried to be nice in saying it. I don't believe this guy's a top 25 player in the NBA. I really don't. I don't. And I don't know if I can come up with 25 today. I think I could. Once like Brad Beal's healthy, I still would take Brad Beal over him. You guys know that.
Yeah.
Because Brad Beal, no, listen, again, as much as it is about the fact that Jaylen Brown can't dribble with his left hand, which we know, he can't pass the, he doesn't make people better. He doesn't. And I'm tired of people saying, like, well, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, or somebody said last year, the same player or do the same thing. No, they don't. Jason Tatum makes people better consistently. Jaylen Brown does not do that on any sort of a consistent basis. In fact, last night you just look at it and you're like, man, like his basketball IQ sometimes just bewilders me.
$300 million plus whatever the number is.
I don't even want to get into that. I mean, again, it was just stupid. I get they had to max him out, right? You had to max him out. But why did you have to give him the full max?
Well, and for what? I wondered about that.
Because you felt bad? Because Brad Stevens didn't want to offend him? That's what it was? Ultimately, it was about not offending Jaylen Brown instead of, again, I know it wasn't his money. Well, we don't want to offend him, so we're going to give him the full max to a guy that, again, didn't really warrant getting the full max.
I agree. And to me, what Jaylen Brown should be is if Tatum's not scoring, then he is. But that's not the case. And the fact is, they took him off the floor last night because late in the game, they couldn't afford a turnover. You're paying a guy over $300 million in a
double
max.
He's your third best offensive player. He's your third best offensive player. I will say that now. Porzingis is better offensively.
And we'll see. I was trying to think of somebody ahead of him and make him the fourth.
Well, no, Drew isn't there, obviously.
Yeah,
Drew,
he's not there. No, Porzingis is a better offensive player than him. I mean,
he's
that's in
the better offensive player.
Of course. I mean, we knew that coming in. Bob, the money paid to Jaylen Brown was all on potential. It hasn't been what he's accomplished.
I'm not saying I'm in the middle here, but I'm
kind of torn. You're torn on it, though, aren't you?
I am torn on it, yes. But I'm more like, I don't know. He did have his
20. You trust him, Bob. Here's my take with Jaylen Brown. Do you trust him in a big spot and you say, hey, let's put the ball in his hand. Jason Tatum is hurt or whatever. Let's put the ball in his hand to go make a play with the game on the line in the NBA Finals. Are you feeling good about giving Jaylen Brown the ball to go make a play, whether it's for himself or for somebody else in his team?
Well, if he sees a lane to get to the basket, maybe.
A right-handed lane to the basket.
He's, get to the hoop. He's very good.
Yes.
No, I got, but you know, but how he did? They don't. hand you 25 points a game. He got them somehow. So that's why I'm hesitant to completely trash.
No, this was a bad game. This is a bad game by him. And again, it's one game. So I do want to make that clear. He's going to have
some really good games. This is the thing. Okay. And maybe I'm just a grumpy member of the media. When you get paid that kind of money, you're going to get people on your butt.
And you don't get double teamed. You don't get double. You're the wealthiest player in the NBA next year. And you're never going to see a double team because of Jason Tatum.
Right. Right.
You better be pretty damn good if you're not facing double teams and you are the richest player in the NBA next year. Like, I don't know. Again, maybe I'm too hard on him. I just feel like he has not progressed enough. And his shooting, again, his three-point shooting was pretty good early because nobody thought he was a three-point shooter. Now he's kind of come down to earth. And I think what he is a 35, 36%, you know, somewhere around 35, probably 3 points.
Well, I mean, he's got a little bit of the Antoine Walker disease. You know, he makes the first two and everybody thinks, oh, you know, he's got better. He is a 3-point shooter. Then he can miss the next eight.
Right. So, I'm just going to be a bit of a contrarian and dig in. He averaged 27 points a game last year. They didn't come from the scorer graciously cheating him for him. So it's correct. But your question, Jeff, your proposal is correct. I would not want to trust him.
All I'm saying.
Like, I mean, I'll grant you that.
But it's not like he's not an asset, but he's not the asset.
Shot 34% from three last year. That was the lowest of his career.
What did he average against Miami last year in the playoffs? You know, that to me.
That's the thing. If you know how to play him right, if you have the personnel and you know how to play him correctly, it's going to be very difficult for him to be. The great thing for him is now he's got Porzingis. Yeah. So to be honest, over the course of time here, he's going to get even more uncontested shots.
He could be pretty good. Or he may have to make the most of his opportunity because Porzingis may get the ball more than him.
Yeah.
And he's going to need, once again, I'm going to say it tonight and we'll be saying it all year. He's going to need a thick skin because this is only game one. And every night he has a good night like that, the number on his back was not going to be seven. It's going to be 300 million.
Not 300,000, Bob. That was
300 million.
30 years ago.
He has to live with that.
Anything else? Any other nuggets you saw from the season opener, gentlemen?
No, I think we were very happy about Porzingis. So Tatum was Tatum for the most part. White. Yeah, I was the new. I hadn't seen the new look White, by the way, and not having paid much attention to the exhibitions. I don't know where his hair all went, but I haven't seen the new look. But I still like him as a ball player very much. You know,
they're not going to miss Marcus Smart.
Yeah, and no, but he's not. He's who he is, and Holiday, Jeff, we're going to need a while for him to. You know, there was nothing special there last night. The other thing I kept thinking about this morning was okay. We know you can look in a box score and see what the points say. It's hard on television. You're not watching guys guard guys. I don't know what his defensive value specifically was last night. And we know that's a big part of the deal. That's a major part of the deal with him is he brings that to the table. And he may have brought that to the table in a way I wasn't paying attention to last night. So I just want to say that.
Even though we had some negative comments, optimistic is my feeling after last night's game. I think that this is the best team that they've had in the post-Kevin Garnett era. I think that this is a legitimate NBA title-contending team, even though they stubbed their foot. Knicks are still a good team. Knicks are well-coached. Knicks have some good players. I think, you know, they were up by 12. They ended up winning by 4 last night. This team can win the championship.
Well, they're in the mix. They're in the mix, and people say to me, "You want predictions?" I hate predictions because you know for various reasons. But I certainly will go and say there's at least a half a dozen contenders, and they're one of them.
There's no doubt.
The West has got three or four, the minimum, you know. And then we've got Milwaukee and Boston here, and you know Miami will be a tough out as always. There's no doubt in my mind, but they're in that mix, and that's all. I'm happy with that. I'm very pleased with that.
All right, guys, let's move along. Something from last night's game, though. What did you think about the officiating? And we always know there's a market correction when it comes to the flops.
Yeah.
And it was obviously, they were obviously sending a message last night.
Yeah, they were opening night. Apparently, that must have been a point of emphasis for the referees, obviously. Don't you think, Jeff? There must have been a point of emphasis. Of course, they've amended the flop and the flop, you know, and I still don't think it's that hard. I still don't think the referees, they know who the actors are. They should. I just don't think it's as hard as it's been made out to be for referees to know what to do. I just don't. And that's just me.
Well, I think the NBA, you just said it, Bob, is they want to maintain their jobs. They want to get good grades, the officials, and they're doing as they're told. I generally don't have a problem with the officials when it comes to things like this, because they're just doing their job and as they're told, Jeff. That's all.
They're trying to keep their jobs. They're trying to keep their jobs.
Absolutely.
Every game. So if they don't call it the way they're told to call it.
Oh, yeah. No, they have to answer to a supervisor. There's no doubt. One of my biggest things always about officials has not been things. It's temperament. I want guys that know how to avoid trouble, walk away from trouble. Guys that don't overreact. Guys that know, hey, you know, if I'm going to make a controversial call one way or the other, you know, you've been around. If you're a referee, certain calls are going to be materializing. You see them coming and you say, and you know, inherently, whatever I make, someone's going to be very unhappy. And then don't overreact and don't tease somebody up when you know the call is inherently controversial. That is stupid refereeing in it. And that's always been what's pissed me off more about, you know, certain referees than anything else.
Snap into action this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. The app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. Okay, Jeff. What do you think about? Do you think it'll come back to the middle as it always does?
Yeah, I mean it will. It's just about time. I thought the other thing from last night's game that I was impressed with was the Knicks. Honestly, they're not that talented. They're not. I mean, they're just, you know, they got Brunson. We love RJ Barrett. Good, solid player. Julius Randle's a good player. So I think the one thing they do is they're bought in now. They play hard. And I think Brunson has kind of changed that a little bit. And some of those Villanova guys have changed that.
What about Quickly? He's an interesting little – he's like
I'm shocked.
Yeah. He's a mini Maxi.
Correct. That's exactly – he's a poor man's Maxi.
Right.
That's what he is.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but he's a poor man's Tyrese Maxi.
That's a long career in this league. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he can be like a Lou Williams type.
Oh, that well. Who, by the way, belongs in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, he's a again. But the Knicks are fun to watch now. They're fun to watch. They're a star away from being an actual contender.
Yeah. And then even today in the Post, they had one of those endless stories about what it would take to get Embiid. I mean, it never goes away in New York. I love it.
No, but it makes sense. I mean, Embiid's going to want to be traded at some point this year, I would think. So why not? If you're New York, you are positioning yourself in every way imaginable to be able to get Joel Embiid.
And there's a good segue for us, gentlemen.
Well, I was just going to say, speaking of Embiid, James Harden showed up at the team flight. And they said, no go, kid. No, you're not making the trip. And then he left. So, Jeff, your thoughts on what's going on with Mr. Harden? He has showed up. He's out of shape. He has a monitor on him. And they said, no, you're not coming with us. And it seems to, what are you hearing? I mean, you know Maury, but I mean, you know this guy. Is he not getting the offers? Do people not want James Harden, or is he just truly being unreasonable when it comes to negotiating?
Well, I think they don't want him, and they certainly don't want him at $35 million, right? A lot of people don't want him, period. But they'd take him if it was, you know, a mid-level type contract. They'd roll the dice on him, but at $35 million, you just can't. You can't. And again, too many people have seen him quit over and over and over. And yeah. I'm glad, you know, like to me, if I was, and again, we've been through this. I have such a hard time because I'm not a Daryl. I'm not in the Daryl Morey camp at all, at all. But here, I think I'm siding with Daryl Morey. Get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here. But the problem is, again, if you do that, how do you get his trade value to a point where you might be able to deal him? It's like, what do you do here? To me, the biggest, if I'm Joel Embiid and James Harden tries to come to practice, I'm going to punch him right in the face. I'm going to punch him right in the face. Seriously. Like, right. How pissed off does Joel have to be at this guy right now? Because he is the worst teammate you could possibly be.
I'm so tired of this guy. But I mean, one thing, but there's such a financial ramification here that towers over everything if you're the Sixers. You know, he's still drawing paychecks as far as we know, right? So yeah. And now it's not the play. I mean, this is preposterous. And, you know, but who would want a guy, you know, this be the third team that he walked away from, right? That he walked. So come on. I mean,
quits on. Doesn't just walk away from. He quits.
I totally got suckered in. I thought he was going to be the guy for the Nets. I did.
So, hey, did you guys hear Dan Patrick had Doc Rivers on, I think, yesterday. And he asked him about, you know, Harden and everything like that. And what Doc said, which I thought was interesting, he said, you know, James was great first half of last year. He was a point guard. He bought into being a point guard. He was leading the league in assists. He was great. And then he said it all changed. He felt like when Harden did not get voted by the coaches to the All-Star game, everything flipped. Mm-hmm. Really interesting.
Yeah, very, very.
Well, I believe it. I mean, we all know, we've heard players talk about it. And I'm not saying that this is how he feels, but I felt the impression that Jason Tatum gave me for a while that the All-Star game was more important than winning a championship. I mean, that's how these guys at least. And I'm not saying that's the case. I'm not saying that's the case.
I think as a kid, it's a big thing to get your first one. But if James Harden, how many have you been to? Who gives a shit? You just want to party wherever the All-Star game is. That's all it is. You think you want to go to Vegas and not go to the All-Star game and party in Vegas instead.
Well, that's the frustrating thing is he can dish the ball. He can run the offense. And if he's in shape, he can be a real asset. That's what's so frustrating, because when James Harden was playing well with the Nets or when he buys in with the Sixers, I enjoy watching that James Harden. I like watching him.
But I must admit, I never do.
You don't buy the assists. Bob doesn't buy the assists.
On him, that I'm not rational anymore. I'll admit to that. I probably have to recuse myself in many discussions because I just want him to go away. I don't want to watch him play. I never liked him when he was good. You know, he may have dribbled more per second than anyone in the history of the league to get nothing done, but oftentimes to get something done. But I never liked this game ever. And plus, I hate the beard. I've hated the beard from day one. The beard.
I just love Bob. Somebody,
not all beards, his beard.
The assists aren't real. The assists are coming out of thin air. He's paying off the scorekeeper.
He's paying scores off, I think. I do.
All right, let's get on to a positive story. Wembanyama, what a great debut. What, 23 minutes, 6 of 9, at 15 points for the Spurs. What do you think, Bob? You've been following this guy. You have high hopes.
Oh, I have high hopes. And I'm just curious, you know, I know he had a little foul trouble, but 23 minutes, I wasn't, I don't know, that isn't going to be the norm, I would think.
Oh, God, no.
But we saw glimpses, the things, the skill set is extraordinary at 7'4". Really, truly, we haven't seen anything like this at that size. We got a 7'3" guy could do nice things, but he's not doing the stuff, you know, he's not playing the game the way Wembanyama does. Actually, they could play together. Wouldn't that be something? But I still will stick with my current characterization. He's a bigger Giannis. He's got, you know, Giannis is a very similar skill set.
Hey, but Bob, he shot 3 for 5 from 3 last night. So
yeah,
he's a more skilled Giannis.
Oh, okay. Even more. Yeah. And 5 inches taller. And Giannis is 6'11". I mean, this is a new phenomenon. I'm going to enjoy watching it. I mean, the Spurs are appointment TV for they're not even a middle of the road team. Or are they? I don't know if they, we don't know what they're going
to
be. I don't know.
But the best thing that could happen to the Spurs is if they finish in the lottery. That's the best thing this year, honestly, because that's, maybe people will want to go there as free agents to play with Wemby. I don't think they're there yet. And I know San Antonio is not a destination, we know. So even with Wembanyama, are you ever going to get another superstar? I mean, you could. It's going to be awfully difficult. So you got to build through the draft. I think you got to stink again this year. I think you need to stink for one more year and then make a big jump.
Meanwhile, I'd say the over-under on wow plays that we're going to get from him in each of the 82 games is two. That's pretty good. I mean, oh my God, what did I just see plays because of who he is at 7'4"? That, I think that's going to be over-under is going to be two.
Well, I mean, do you think he can play well, Jeff, and they can still remain in the lottery?
Yeah, of course. Of course. They don't have enough around him. I mean, look at what they're starting. Devin Vassell, good player. You know, Kelvin Johnson, solid player. Zach Collins, he's always hurt. And Jeremy Sochan. They're all young for the most part, other than Zach Collins isn't that young, but he's been hurt his whole career. And, they don't have enough. So no matter what, I think they're a lottery team. There's a big difference between, although this year there may not be guys. You don't want to tank because this year's draft class stinks, the top. So really, the difference between drafting 1, 2, or 3 and 9, 10, or 11 is not going to be that big this year. I think you can get, you're not getting a superstar probably out of this year's draft, but what they need is another really good, like, number two guy. Could they somehow get that with Wemby or get, a good starter that's an upgrade over what they have? Absolutely.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, guys, to wrap it up, Bob, did you have a comment?
Well, I just think a couple of random things. There's a guy that had a big night last night that was a kind of a forgotten entity, and I bet Jeff would have something to say about it, and that's Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, yes. Huh? You know how much I loved him.
Yeah, and you saw what he did last night.
Yeah, high school, college, was hurt all last year. He's just such a good player. I hope they can put enough around him, Bob. That's my biggest worry with him. Kind of like Wemby, are they going to be able to put enough around him that in their current franchises, they can taste the postseason more than just like sneaking in and then being, a play-in team or getting knocked out?
Now, one more thing we mentioned the All-Star game. The All-Star game, they're once again going under tinkering. They're going back to the future in a sense, going back to conference versus conference. No more of this picking a team stuff. They want to make the All-Star game into some more of a game, which I'm old enough to remember when I saw plenty of really entertainingly good basketball games played by the best players in the world who played for pride only. How about that? They just wanted to win the damn game. It was just like being on the playground, except it was the best players possible. And what happened to that mentality? I don't know. And that this embarrassment, nonsense, old joke of a farce of a, I'm feeling like I'm channeling my Woody Allen here, but I wouldn't watch it. I wouldn't watch it. But now Adam Silver's got some religion in this thing. See how the players react to it. But
You had to try something because it had become a complete.
But I blame them. This shouldn't be. Why? What? Where is the pride? Well, isn't enough to say there's a. I got 12 great players, 11 great players with me, and there's 12 over there. We just want to go out and show, kick some ass and play. What's wrong with that?
Bob, I'm glad you brought it up. I also think it behooves the league to do it because now the conferences are more balanced. I think they're more balanced, but. And it's definitely better basketball. But we talked about Jason Tatum, and Jeff was right as a kid, playing in the All-Star game was a big deal. I'll rephrase that. Making the All-Star team, just being named is a big deal.
I didn't realize that the paucity of rookies just making the teams, that's been commented upon lately in the last 20 years. I didn't realize that. It's just an honor for a rookie to just get in the damn game, and that's 24 guys. I'm surprised, but that's the way it's been. So, yeah. Wemby, that's a goal for him.
Yeah, and they it doesn't matter how the it doesn't matter how the game's played. It's just they want to be there for the weekend and pose for the pictures. But you're right. I mean, I think I'm trying to remember. Like the last, was it Magic Johnson? Was it in early 90s? Bob, you have a great memory.
Oh, man, well, Magic, after Magic was diagnosed with the HIV,
right,
he played in that All-Star game in subsequent in July and January. I went to that game. It was in Orlando. And he played, did he get MVP? He played very well. I know that.
What was that like? Do you remember the feel of that game, Bob?
Oh,
what
yeah. It was cool. I mean, people, Magic's back. He's playing. And oh, my God. And because that's when we thought HIV meant a death sentence.
Yeah.
We all figured that Magic would be dead in 5 years. That was the world of HIV men.
100%. Yeah.
We all assumed he'd be dead in 5 years because that's what happened to people. And now he's 31, 2 years later. He's been on this cocktail and he's quite, you know, and thank God that they found out that the medical science did its wonders. But no, it was kind of spooky, you know, we watching Magic's, you know, this, we better enjoy him while he's on this earth kind of thing. Oh, God, it was weird. Yeah.
But I mean, I think that was the last era where we saw All-Star games that were fun to watch.
Well, there were, yeah, that was, you know, I've covered a couple of overtime ones that, you know, I remember when the Tom Chambers game, we call it, was a great game in Seattle. And Bird's worst game, by the way, that was a very good game in Washington in 1980. And Larry Bird made the first three-pointer in All-Star game history. Larry made from the left corner. I remember it. But more than that, I think who the coach was, who it would have been, well, 79 East anyway, that no, it's Billy Cunningham. It could have been. Yeah, Philly. Larry made an inbounds pass to Moses for a bullet delivery for an alley-oop from out of bounds that Cunningham raved about. And so yeah, that's all I can tell you. And another All-Star game Larry played.
Bob, with his random, his absolutely random things that go through his head, Gary.
Yeah. But when I've been thinking about All-Star games lately, you know, and because of this today, I spent the rest of the afternoon thinking about All-Star games.
I'm excited to see you tomorrow night, Bob.
Yeah, thank you. That's always good to be here. As I start my 60th year of going to the South.
This is 60?
Well, 1964, October 17 was my first one.
I'm getting a picture of you tomorrow night before the game, and I'm tweeting that out. Your 60th season covering the NBA.
As everybody knows, we're recording this on Thursday. There are statues of legends throughout Boston. There has to be a statue of Bob Ryan somewhere. Who knows? Maybe it'll be at his breakfast joint in Hingham. But, you know, with stories like that, Bob, you'd never cease to amaze us. Wow. Unbelievable. And the thing that I think about is Larry assists with Moses. Was it a year later he said Moses eats bleep?
Yes, 1 year later.
And on that note, that'll do it, gentlemen. And Bob says keep an eye on Indiana. We'll get into that next week. Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tagway Along for the Ride podcast and Zoom brought to you by FanDuel, the official partner of the CLNS Media Network. Snap into action this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Gentlemen, until next week.
New FanDuel customers can bet $5. And get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. Plus, all customers who bet $5 will get $100 off NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV.